And go to Psalm 119 and verse 89. We're going to try and look at 89 to 96. I love electronics so much that I don't plug them in and let them die. I worked on my computer today and studying this, and I got home. I said, that's all right. I'll just bring it to church, and I'll just turn on my iPhone and my iPad and my Mac. They talk to each other, and everything's on the same stuff. So my iPad was... It had about 8% that it didn't last. So I got to the church and I said, well, I'll just use my computer. And I got to church, it was 37%. So I went in and ran it off on the copier. Thank God that you fixed the printer deal for me. Amen. Let's stand to read God's Word tonight. Psalm 119, verse 89. The letter is Lamb. Forever. If I was you, I would I'd underline that. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I talked to a guy today. There's a group of guys called the circuit rider preachers. Group of guys that they have at least two churches they preach at every week, if not more, in Montana and Wyoming and Utah. Anyway, he's going to come see us in March. I'm excited about it. And I said, where are you standing on the King James? He says, all the way, brother, all the way. I said, okay, all right. And he said, I'm not a King James only guy. And I says, I believe that King James is the best translation for the English language. He said, me too. But he said, there's a bunch of crazy people out there that think that you can translate the Bible from King James to another language. You can't do that. You got to go to original Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. And there's some real stupid heads out there. I'm telling you right now, brother. I'm telling you. So anyway, we had a good talk, amen. But I said, you know, I believe the Word of God is preserved. It's there for us. Mankind has tried to tear it apart, take it away from us, take it apart, burn it up. But thank God it's preserved for us. And it just keeps coming up, amen. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue, you can hit that one too. It says, well, this earth's going to, we're going to wear it out. You ain't going to wear it out. Crazy people. And by the way, I like global warming. Really like it, amen. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law hath been my delight, I should have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine. Save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceedingly broad. Dear God, I pray that you just help us today. Lord, help us to listen to you, the Word of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. I pronounce that last word as exceeding, not exceedingly. Exceeding. The psalmist begins the segment of his song with a grand word, forever. I like forever. I used to take a jackknife back in my woods in Michigan and cut a great big old heart out. Put my initials and my girlfriend's initial, MKF, Marcia K. Fry, and then I put a plus in it, and I draw an arrow in it, and then I love forever. Amen. Amen. I wanted my marriage to be a fairy tale. And they lived happily ever after. To me, that's forever. Amen. I hope that's the kind you want. Amen. Well, by it, God's word is lifted above all the changes wrought by time, above all the vicissitudes of life, above all the temporary and the transient things of earth. The word of God stays true. The psalmist begins, he tells us, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled." The word is permanent. Sometimes we build things, and you've heard of them settling. They settle. And our day, the Word of God is settled. And it's not going to move anymore. It's on the rock. Because it is the Lord's Word. That's why God does not have to change His mind. He is omniscient, wisdom. God knows everything, everything possible, and everything that is. That's why I love when they said, "Well, who is this God?" He said, "You just tell them, I am sent you. I am takes care of everything." Amen? I am. Are you the God? I am. Do you do miracles? I am. Whole thing. Amen. He is acquainted with every fact. He is acquainted with every detail about everything, about everyone in heaven, everyone on earth, and even those who are in hell. He may be invisible to us, but He is not invisible to Him. We are not. We're just not of it. Scripture says about just reading it today about even before I think it, God knows what we're about to say. He saw Adam and Eve hiding in the garden. They were not invisible. He saw Cain murder his brother. He saw Sarah inside her tent laughing. One of the first revelations of God occurs in the Bible opening page. 7 times it said, "And God saw." God knows every detail about everything that has happened in the past. He knows everything that's going on right this moment throughout all the vast reaches of space. He knows every event from the smallest to the greatest that will ever happen in the ages of eternity to be. If it were possible for something to happen that God did not know about, He would cease to be omniscient. He would cease to be God. "Know unto God all His works from the beginning of the world," the Bible says in Acts chapter 15, verse 18. Then the psalmist tells us that God's word is settled, first of all, in the glory. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It is beyond the reach of man." No person cannot, I don't care how clever he is, how confident he is, how confused he is, will permanently change God's word. He can't do it. Foolish is anyone who tampers with God's word. In fact, the Bible says, if you take out of God's word, He said, "I'll put the plagues of Egypt upon you." That's not what I like, amen. I wouldn't want to wake up with a bunch of frogs in my kneading trough, amen, making bread, whatever. That'd be a terrible thing. Some kids think that'd be fun, but it really is, because the Bible said it stank. Foolish is the one who tries to get rid of God's word. Dionysian harnessed the resources of the empire and the Roman Empire to stamp out the Bible. He might as well have tried to stop the blowing of the wind. It didn't happen. Voltaire held a copy of the Bible and said, "In 50 years, I'll have this book in the morgue." And in 50 years, he was in the morgue. And the Geneva Bible Society owned his house and used it to a place to store Bibles. Oh, yeah. Don't mess with God's word. Amen. God's word is settled in heaven. The galaxies were passed away, but God's word will remain. Far beyond the reaches of all its foes, forever settled in heaven. Secondly, the psalmist tells us the word of God is settled on this globe. He said, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations that hath established the earth and it abideth. The psalmist turns back to Scriptures, the first page. There, he says, read it for yourself. God's word was established on the earth. On the first day of creation, God established the law of light. He obtained that light should travel 186,000 miles a second. That it should dispel darkness. That its speed should be one of the constants of the universe, a law of the universe, so that 1,000 years later, a Jewish scientist reading in nature's vast book could introduce the atomic age which equation containing the speed of life, E equals MC squared. He concluded. Energy equals mass multiplied by the speed of light squared. Wow. It's incredible. And I don't care. This is how we test things. This is how we think. This is it. And where did it come from? God gave us light. On the second day of God's creation, God established form and firmament, separating the waters from the water, setting in motion all the vast forces of evaporation and condensation which renew and replenish our earth. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. On the third day of creation, God established the lay of the land, separating the oceans from the continent and ordaining the depths and the bounds of the sea. I'm glad about that. Amen. On the fourth day of creation, God established the services of the sun, ordained the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night, ensuing the regular round of the seasons and giving mankind a celestial timepiece to measure the passing of days and months and years. Wow! How cool is that? On the fifth day, God established the fish. I like that, and I like to do that right now. Go fishing, amen. And the fowl of the sea and the sky, and set in order the laws of their being. On the sixth day of creation, God established life, the lordship of the planet, making all forms of life and crowning man's monarch of all that he surveyed. Thus it has been from that day until this, sunshine and shadow, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, and everywhere the earth remotest bounds to the outer edges of the universe, God has established His word. Everything there is an evidence of law. Modern science is predicated on the fact that the law of nature do not change. When you take a flame and put copper in it, it burns what? Burns green. That's a law. You can't. It won't burn any other color. We have the laws of light. We have laws of electricity. He said, thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. We have the laws of heat, sound, magnetism, gravity, chemistry, physics, biology, mathematics. All are established by God's word. And such is the power of God's word, an entire established order of nature sprang into being in response of these 10 commandments. 10 times God said in Genesis, and God said. God's word settled in heaven, settled on the earth, and settling of our soul, and its preeminence gave us something solid in which we could rest our faith on. I'm telling you, I'm glad that I have heaven to look forward to. I'm glad that God said, if you ask me to forgive your sins, I will come into your heart and I'll live there forever. I'm so glad about that. Aren't you happy about that? You know, this is not a sad thing that Mrs. Talmadge is going to heaven. It's a joyous occasion. It's a graduation day. Hey, hey, hey. The other day I walked out of the hospital and I said, man, Mrs. Talmadge, you're going to be on for the ride of your life, amen. Yeah, so you, if you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Then the psalmist mentions, they continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. I like that. He says, all these things that you created, they're but your servants. Remember, The universe does not circle around you. It circles around Him. Everything on this world is to glorify Heavenly Father. I am reminded when I was looking at some telescope pictures of on my computer from NASA, and the bombarding, the exploding things going on in outer space. How can it be outer space? But it's out there. Things are exploding and sparking. They're not. You and I don't see them. So who do you think they are for? The Lord. That reminds me. God loves fireworks. Amen. All right. Do you see them? No. We just now. Just now we're getting to see these things. Never seen them before. So who's enjoying it? God. Everything God made up there is for Him. And He lets us have a little peek at them. Amen. Then the psalmist mentions, they continue this day according to thine ordinances, order, for all of they are thy servants. People speak of the laws of nature. And you'll hear people talk about the providence, but the Bible speaks God. Such expressions as nature and providence really are demoralizing synonyms for God. They don't want to admit that it's God who created this heaven and earth. They use these to avoid, to acknowledge God and the author and sustainer of the universe. Behind the vast fabric of nature is the laws, is God. The psalmist observed that the law established by God as creation still stood unchanged. And the same is true. When you put a kettle on the stove to heat water, we don't expect in a few minutes that we get a block of ice in there. If we drop a lead weight, we don't expect it to fly into the sky. Kettles and weights are God's servants. Even the expectation proves the rule. Even the exception proves the rule. When Noah ran away from God, God simply summons His servants. Wind, blow. Whale, or big fish, pick him up. It wasn't a whale, it was a big fish. Pick him up. Like a big old cargo ship, man. Just come here and scoop him up, amen. Actually, it was more like a submarine, amen. And sent them to arrest the disobedient prophet. When Pharaoh dug in his heels and defiled the living God, he directed Moses to summon frogs and flies and lice and locusts and blood and boils and death. Thus lay Egypt in the dust. When the Lord Jesus stilled the storm, the disciples said, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I've been on some pretty good storms. Both of them have been older. One on Lake Michigan on a big ship we're going across. It's called the ferry. And we were just ahead of this tornado. And we rode that thing out, came into, I think it was Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We came in from Michigan, went from Michigan over there. And, boy, she was, you know that song, Billows Roar? That's what I was doing. But one year we were out, I had a friend of mine from Michigan. He wanted me to take him fishing. And we're up at Holder. Holder is a very, very dangerous lake. And I was out there in my boat and had him and the preacher and his two boys, and had three of my boys in that boat. And all of a sudden, we had lights going down the water. We were fishing for these silver salmon. And they'll come up, and the algae will come to those lights, and then little minnows come to light, and all of a sudden, here comes those crazy silver salmon. And we're out there, and his boy hadn't caught one yet. I mean, all of them just slamming them, but this one boy, I think he had stink on his hand, I think. But anyway. And the preacher says, I said, "Hey, guys," I said, "the wind's coming up." I said, "We're going to get off this thing." It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. I said, "We're going to get off this thing." He said, "Oh, come on, preacher, don't do that." He says, "My boy hadn't even caught one." I said, "Man," I said, "I'm telling you, I don't care if he caught one or not. I'm sorry. He can have a couple of mine. But I said, we're getting off this thing. Oh, and he begged me, And finally, the wind started blowing. My boat turned. We were anchored, but my boat turned like this sideways. You know, and I said, hey, we're getting off this thing. So I was pulling all my lanterns in, and I was pulling everything, and I fired that boat up, and I took off. When we finally got to the dock, we had 50 gallons of water in my boat. Couldn't get it out. It was just, I never seen anything like it. We were, and I finally hit a wave, and I surfed that wave. That wind was blowing that fast and hard. I got right on the wave and rolled it right in about 3 miles. And that was really stupid, I'll tell you right now. And I'll tell you what, I was scared to death. And those kids, they were laughing and having a good time. But I'm telling you what, this old pilot of that boat, I was scared to death. I knew I was going to die, man. And I knew I was going to see Jesus walking on the water, amen. But anyway, you know, those men said, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? I'm glad I serve a living Savior like that, amen. Of course, they did. They had been obeying him, the waves, ever since God made them. So then, the psalmist sings about the premise of God and the source of the comfort of him to know that he can invest in this God. And he had faith in the bank that it never fail. God's, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Psalm 145, verse 13. As it changes to the word of God. Everything we settle, everything is settled in heaven. Before God put them into writing. Next, the psalmist speaks, unless thy law have been my delight, I should have perished in my afflictions. I should have perished in my afflictions. And he goes on, he said, the word of God helps the psalmist to keep his sanity. Anybody need some sanity today? We all need sanity. You see things going on, this ISIS baloney and the burning that pilot and just, I'm telling you, man. Thank God for Jordan. Thank God for Jordan. You wouldn't have this stuff going on. But anyway, pray for our country. Pray for our president. Pray for our military. Them guys are jacked up. I'm telling you what. They want to get it done and take care of it. And God had given wisdom to do it. The Word of God helped the psalmist keep sanity. He gave him something to hang on to when the world was falling apart. It was a rock. It was an anchor. He was able to get his feet on a solid rock when surrounded by the quicksand of menacing circumstances. Every one of us have menacing circumstances in our life. Every one of us. He was able to throw out the anchor and feel the cable hold his drifting boat against the rising wind and the perilous reef. John Bunyan must have had such thoughts when sitting in Bedford jail, in prison for the preaching of the Word of God years ago, knowing he was unable to support his wife, thinking too of his little blind daughter. But John Bunyan had his Bible. Up here, not here. He had his Bible in here. Nobody could take that away from him. If they took away his tattered testament, he had it graven in his mind. Then they put Bunyan in jail, but out of it came the Christian and Pliable, and Great Heart, and Madam Bubble, and Atheist, and Mr. Worldly Wiseman, and Giant Despair, and Mr. Valiant for Truth, and all the other characters that came alive in those pages of Pilgrim's Progress. Bunyan kept his sanity with his Bible, finding company in the character he created from his knowledge of God's Word. God's Word protected him from despair, from boredom, from decay. I met a man, maybe 20 years ago, down in Greenville, South Carolina. He was He was in a German prison, and he was POW. And he said, they're very mean to us. And he said, I had a mama at home praying for me. And I had my New Testament. And he said, they tore off our clothes. And there my New Testament was. And I bent down and I heard the click of a pistol. And a lieutenant started screaming and said, you touch that, I'll kill you. Story says, he said, then kill me, because I cannot live without my Bible. Well, he didn't kill him. He wore that New Testament out. God took care of him. And Mr. McJunk had just passed away last year. And I sat in his living room. He told me the story about how that he said, I could not live without my Bible. Some of us go day in and day out and day in and day out and day in and day out. We're not reading our Bible. Shame on us. Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight. I pray, Lord Jesus, you'd help us, Lord, to realize what a great God you are. Lord, help us to live more like you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to realize the book is true. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Don't forget to pay Rick.